Chapter 38. God's Final Message. I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Revelation 18, verse 1, 2, 4. The second angel's announcement in Revelation 14, verse 8, is going to be repeated, but with the additional mention of the corruptions that have been entering Babylon since that message was first given. This new message describes a terrible condition. Every time people reject truth, their minds become darker, their hearts more stubborn. They will continue to trample on one of the Ten Commandments until they persecute those who hold God's law as sacred. They reject Christ by the contempt they show for His Word and His followers. People will claim to be religious, but their religion will become a cover for the worst evils. A belief in spiritualism opens the door to doctrines of devils, and in this way, evil angels will influence the churches. Babylon has filled up the measure of her guilt, and destruction is about to fall. But God still has people in Babylon, and He must call these faithful ones out so that they will not share in her sins and receive of her plagues. The angel comes down from heaven, lighting up the earth with his glory and announcing the sins of Babylon. The call goes out, Come out of her, my people. These announcements are the final warning that goes to the inhabitants of the earth. The powers of earth will unite in warring against the commandments of God. They will decree that all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, Revelation 13, verse 16, must conform to the customs of the church by observing the false Sabbath. All who refuse will finally be judged as deserving death. On the other hand, the law of God calls for people to honor the Creator's rest day, and it threatens God's punishment against all who break its requirements. When circumstances like these bring the issue clearly before them, all who trample on God's law to obey a human law receive the mark of the beast, the sign of allegiance to the power they choose to obey instead of God. If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Revelation 14, verse 9, 10. Not one experiences the wrath of God until the truth has been brought home to his mind and conscience and he has rejected it. Many have never had opportunity to hear the special truths for this time. The God who reads every heart will allow none to be deceived about the issues of the controversy if they want to know the truth. Everyone will have enough light to make an intelligent decision. The Great Test of Loyalty. The Sabbath, the great test of loyalty, is the truth especially under attack. While observing the false Sabbath will be a pledge of allegiance to a power who opposes God, keeping the true Sabbath is an evidence of loyalty to the Creator. While one group receives the mark of the beast, the other receives the seal of God. Many say that it is groundless and ridiculous to predict that religious intolerance will gain control, that church and state will persecute those who keep the commandments of God. But when Sunday observance is widely agitated, people will see that the event they have doubted so long is actually approaching, and the message will produce an effect it could not have had before. In every generation, God has sent His servants to rebuke sin in the world and in the church. Many reformers started their work determined to exercise great restraint in attacking the sins of the church and the nation. By the example of a pure Christian life, they hoped to lead the people back to the Bible. But the Spirit of God came over them. Fearless of consequences, they could not hold back from preaching the plain doctrines of the Bible. That is just how the message will be proclaimed. The Lord will work through humble instruments who consecrate themselves to His service. The workers will be qualified by the anointing of His Spirit rather than by training in schools. They will feel compelled to go out with holy zeal, declaring the message that God gives. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The solemn warnings will stir the people. Thousands have never heard words like these, they learn that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her sins, because of her rejection of truth. As the people go to their teachers to ask, "Are these things so?" the ministers present fables to quiet the awakened conscience. But since many demand a plain, "Thus says the Lord," the popular ministry will stir up the sin-loving crowds to accuse and persecute those who proclaim the message. The clergy will put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light, to keep people from discussing these vital questions. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, Catholics and Protestants unite. As the movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold, commandment keepers will be threatened with fines and imprisonment. Some will be offered positions of influence and other rewards to give up their faith. But their answer is, "Show us our error from the Word of God." Those accused before courts make a strong defense of truth, and some who hear them are led to make their decision to keep all the commandments of God. In this way, light comes to thousands who otherwise would know nothing of these truths. Obedience to God will be treated as rebellion. Parents will treat their believing children harshly. They will disinherit them and drive them from home. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. As the defenders of truth refuse to honor Sunday, some will be put in prison, some will be exiled, some will be treated as slaves. When God withdraws His Spirit from people, there will be strange developments. The heart can be very cruel when God's fear and love are removed. The storm approaches. As the storm approaches, many who have claimed to believe in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obeying the truth, abandon their position and join the opposition. By uniting with the world, they have come to see things nearly as the world does, and they choose the popular side. People who once were enthusiastic about the truth use their talents and speaking ability to mislead others. They become bitter enemies of the believers who used to be their friends in the faith. These apostates are efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse Sabbath keepers and stir up the authorities against them. The Lord's servants have given the warning. God's Spirit has impelled them. They have not been concerned about their wealth or their reputations or their lives. The work seems far greater than they can accomplish. Yet they cannot turn back. Feeling helpless, they turn to the Mighty One for strength. Different periods in history have been notable for the development of some special truth that exactly met the needs of God's people at that time. Every new truth has made its way against opposition. Christ's ambassadors must perform their duty and leave the results with God. Opposition rises to new intensity. The opposition rises to a fierce intensity. The servants of God are perplexed again, because it seems to them that they have caused the crisis. But conscience and the Word of God assure them that their course is right. Their faith and courage rise with the emergency. Their testimony is, "Christ has conquered the powers of earth, and are we going to be afraid of a world already conquered?" No one can serve God without drawing opposition from the powers of darkness. Evil angels will assail such faithful ones, alarmed that their influence is taking the prey away from them. Evil people will try to separate them from God with attractive temptations. When these things do not succeed, they will use power to force the conscience. But so long as Jesus remains our intercessor in the sanctuary above, rulers and people feel the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. While many of our rulers are active agents of Satan, God also has His agents among the leaders of the nation. A few God-fearing statesmen will hold back a powerful current of evil. The opposition from the enemies of truth will be restrained so that the third angel's message may do its work. The final warning will capture the attention of these leaders, and some will accept it and stand with the people of God during the time of trouble. The latter rain and the loud cry. The angel who unites with the third angel is to illuminate the whole earth with his glory. The first angel's message went to every mission station in the world, and in some countries there was the greatest religious interest ever seen since the Reformation. But the last warning of the third angel will exceed these demonstrations of God's power. The work will be similar to what happened on the day of Pentecost. God gave the former rain at the opening of the gospel to cause the precious seed to spring up. Likewise, he will give the latter rain at its close to ripen the harvest. Hosea 6, verse 3, Joel 2, verse 23. The great work of the gospel will not close with less demonstration of God's power than its opening had. The prophecies that were fulfilled with the outpouring of the former rain at the opening of the gospel will be fulfilled again with the latter rain at its close. Here are the times of refreshing to which the Apostle Peter looked forward. Acts 3, verse 19, 20. Servants of God, their faces shining with holy devotion, will hurry from place to place to tell the message from heaven. Miracles will take place. The sick will be healed. Satan also works with deceptive miracles, even bringing down fire from heaven. Revelation 13, verse 13. These things will move the inhabitants of the earth to choose sides. The message will succeed not so much by argument as by the deep conviction of the Spirit of God. The arguments have been presented, publications have exerted their influence, yet Satan has kept many from fully understanding the truth. Now they see the truth in its clearness. Family relationships and church connections are powerless to stop the honest children of God now. Regardless of the forces combined against the truth, a large number take their stand on the Lord's side.